Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hi, and welcome to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. My name is Emily Thomas, and I am a mom on a mission to get a new perspective. Y'all, I am not proud of it, but I've spent far too long waiting for my daily irritations to resolve before the good times can begin. And I'm thinking the struggles are just going to keep coming, so I might as well get a new plan. God promises if we persevere through our daily struggles, our character will be built, and we'll end up with a hope that doesn't disappoint. And I don't know about you, but my hardest days happen when I've lost sight of that hope. So if that's your story too, join me each week as I interview someone who has passed from just struggling to struggling well. Hey guys, welcome to episode 23. If you're new, I'm so glad you're here, and I hope that you find this interview as encouraging as I did, and that it will serve as a reminder that you're not alone. Just wanted to share a review from a sweet listener. Juco Murphy says, I listen to podcasts when I run, and let's just say I am very motivated to get more miles in when I laugh out loud at Emily's sense of humor on my route. I've learned about new products and new journeys to motherhood that I knew nothing about. I am also learning to take myself way less seriously and just embrace the grace given daily by the man upstairs. That is so good. I love that for several reasons. I love it because I feel like I'm doing my part to make Americans more healthy. There's running happening. It's certainly not happening by me, but it's happening by someone. I love this comment also because it highlights the importance of us not taking everything so doggone seriously, but it also gets us looking at other people's motherhood journeys instead of just kind of judging each other, which certainly we don't mean to do that, but I think accidentally we do it. But everybody's on a different road and we just need to be there for each other and support. So today I am talking to my friend Melody of Melody Joy Designs. She was so fun to talk to you guys, and I really appreciated her honesty about anxiety and how homeschooling was just kind of a disaster for her family, and so they're not doing it. And a lot of us who do homeschool do understand that it is a disaster, and sometimes you can just sense you need to push through it, and sometimes you sense that it's just not the best plan. So she's in the latter camp, and I love hearing from people like that, and I hope that you find freedom in the freedom that she has. Like, this girl has got a strong sense of self, and she is confident, and it's really great. I want to be like Melody when I grow up. You've probably seen Melody's adorable bird's nest jewelry. In this interview, she gives us the backstory of how she accidentally started her business. And the exciting part is that she's going to give away 2 custom nest jewelry pieces to my listeners. So stay tuned for how you can get your hands on one of those. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Okay, Melody, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. I'm so excited to be on your podcast. This is my first one, so yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I'm excited. So excited. I'm super honored.
Oh, you're sweet. You're so sweet. So will you tell everybody about your family and who you guys are?
Sure. Okay, so my husband is Nathan. We've been married for a little over 12 years, and we have 3 kids. They're aged 3, 5, and 7.
Okay.
And then we just got a puppy about a month ago, and his name is Mr. Watson, and he's so cute.
Oh, what a cute name,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's really cute when my kids say it, because, you know, my 3-year-old and 5-year-old don't say they're ours, so they call him Mr. Watson. So cute.
So cute.
Yeah, so I've got 3 kids, and they are all at school right now, so the house Beautiful. Is unusually quiet.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a small business, and I see you. You have your own like studio now, right?
Yes, I have a studio.
It's gorgeous. At least from
you.
Instagram, it looks like
it's so cool. I can't believe it. I for so long, my business, or you know, I guess hobby, it really started out as a hobby, and it was mostly when I was a stay-at-home mom to I had a toddler and a baby, and I just thought I'm gonna go crazy because I don't have anything to do, and not that mm-hmm. you know, obviously there's so much to do being a stay-at-home right. mom, but I just needed some sort of creative outlet, and I felt so antsy. And so I just started, you know, making a few things, and I would end up just giving them to my friends because I felt awkward asking for money. so
awkward.
My friends yeah. were like, you should just start an Etsy shop, and that way, you know, people will pay you and then you can send them stuff.
Yeah.
And so I kind of just did it as a way to support my habit of buying too much yarn and shopping too much
okay.
at the craft store. I was like, I need a way to pay for my habits of just wanting to buy and make things.
So. Yes. So the first thing you make those cowls, right?
Yeah, I started making like these chunky knit cowls with like big buttons. And I just did it, you know, like I said, for fun. And then people just kind of kept asking me to make them. And so I just kept doing it. And I thought, you know, I live in South Carolina where the need for warm things isn't very often. So I don't know. It was just a seasonal thing for real at the beginning. And then I got really into, we started raising chickens. That was like a, which we still do. And it's fun.
How many chickens do you have?
I know. I think we have like 6 or 7 or hold on, 5, 6, 7, 8. Maybe we have 8. We have 5 hens and then 3 chicks. Yeah. So 8.
Cute. It's illegal where I live.
Really?
Because, see? So I just have to.
Oh, yeah. I feel people. So sad because it's so nice to have them. But anyways, at this point in my life, I was really just intrigued by birds and mama birds specifically. And just watching one of our mother hens become a mother. She hatched her eggs, you know, and we were watching it happen. Okay. And it was so cool just to watch how she instinctively knew to, you know, cover them with her wings. And she was so proud. And she really, like, for 21 days, they give up everything. You know, they kind of quit eating and taking care of themselves. And they're just focused on hatching these eggs. Anyway, so just watching it happen, it was just so beautiful. And this was, sorry, I'm like talking about so many different things, but this is all kind of ties in together at the end.
Yeah, no, I see where you're going.
We're watching this happen in our backyard, which was so cool. And at the same time, there was like another little mama bird building a nest on our front porch. I was, you know, just kind of totally obsessed with just watching these.
Okay.
I was so like, I understand you, you know, and this mama bird is like building this nest. And I would just kind of peek in and see how the baby was doing. And she would squawk at me like this pterodactyl, you know, like, get away. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, girl, I get you. You know? I was like, I understand how you are. Cause I was like, you know, hormonal. I was nursing and my baby, I was like, I am that mama bird. And anyways, I had followed some like mama's crafty blog. And she said, this is how you can teach your little kids to make a little wire nest with like these big wooden beads. And she showed how you can teach your kid to make one. And I was like, I want one. Like, I want to make myself one.
Yeah.
Instead of letting my kids learn how to make one, I like taught myself how to make one. And I was like,
who cares about them?
Yeah. And I was like, I want to wear one like for myself. So I just started playing around. I just made myself a simple little one with like 2 pearls. And I was like, it's my baby birds. And I posted it. It was a couple weeks before Mother's Day.
Okay.
And I was like, look at what I made for myself. I'm a mama bird. I mean, I'm so corny. And anyways, within like a few hours, I had all these messages from my friends and they were like, please, I want one for Mother's Day. And I was like, jackpot, like, this is the thing. So like from then on, I guess that was maybe like about 5 years ago.
Okay.
That kind of is what I'm mostly known for. I guess now I still do the knitted cowls, but I do like mama bird's nest jewelry.
Was your first one a necklace or one you made yourself?
The one I made myself was a necklace. And I truly did not think it would be like, I didn't think it would turn out as big as it did, but I'm very thankful. Yeah. I will say it's very, very humbling. The orders that I get are very, I mean, I would say over half the women I get orders from are just telling me the stories of their kids. And a lot of these moms have, you know, experienced miscarriage and loss and just have these sad and beautiful stories of just loss and just coming through the suffering. And it's just very moving and humbling and honoring to be able to make nests for these women. And they just say, you have no clue how meaningful this is, that I have a tangible way of representing my babies. And I never in a million years would have thought I would be able to, you know, have kind of a ministry / handmade shop.
Absolutely.
But yeah. I'm very thankful for it.
I know the ones for babies that have been, what do you say? I never know how to say that.
Yeah. You know, some people call them angel babies or babies who are no longer here on earth. Is that what you're talking about? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They're a different color.
Huh? Yes.
Is that something they choose or you pick? It's always the same?
Yeah. It's, I would say probably, so over half of my customers tell me that they've experienced loss in some way. And I would say they're equally divided. I would say in about, sorry, you might have to like delete this because I'm not making sense. Okay. So I would say a third of those women who let me know that they've experienced loss, it just hits too close to home and they don't want to have it represented on their nest. Like it just hurts too much to remember it. I would say another third, they say, yes, I have experienced loss, but I just don't want to talk about it. And so they'll say, can you tuck, you know, an egg or however many behind my nest so I know that it's there and, you know, people don't have to, you know, talk with me about it, but I know it's there.
Interesting. So in the back of the nest.
Yeah. So just behind it, close to their heart. And then the other third, I would say, you know, they want it in front because they do want to talk about it because they're like, I wish people had talked to me about it and people should talk about this. And, you know, so every woman grieves differently and wants to represent that baby differently. So it's interesting. And I've learned so much about just, you know, how strong women are and people, you know, all people, but especially these women who just love. And you always, you know, whenever you love something, there's the risk of losing it, but it's just, you have to be brave every day. And I've learned a lot through these women. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So is that something that's part of your story? Did you?
I have not experienced it. I will say this is not even close to, I've never experienced loss in that way, but you know, losing one of my own children or experiencing miscarriage. But part of my personality, well, we're getting like really deep really fast.
Hey, you know what? Let's do this.
Yeah. No, I'm an extremely deep feeler. Okay. Which maybe is, you know, people think that's a good thing, but it really, I mean, I feel things very deeply. So when someone else is struggling, like I feel it, like, like it's happened to me, not completely, but in a way. And so I have to really step back sometimes when I read these stories. I just think, okay, I've got to, like, I can pray for this person. I can, you know, let them know this is, I'm praying for them, but I can't, this isn't my burden, you know?
And yeah. Have you always been like that?
I think so. Yes. It's definitely, you know, led me through some dark times, especially, you know, I have to guard my heart and my emotions, especially with social media, with, you know, Facebook, with news. You know, I have to be very careful with what I let go through, you know, what I read and go through my brain, because I will seriously take it on like it's my journey to fix or, you know, something. Yeah. And it's not. And my husband's really good with me, you know, and if there's something that's happened big in the news that day, he's like, all right, babe, you're not allowed to, look at the news today. Yeah. And he's really good. And my mom knows me like that too. But I really kind of almost shut down in a way. It's not healthy. And I've learned, you know, yeah, it's good to be informed and we don't want to be ignorant, but also I have a family that is right here and lives at home with me, and I can love them. There's nothing I can do about people who are struggling around the world except for I can pray for them, but I can't pack up and go help them right now. I can, you know, I can be sad and I can pray for them, but I can't do anything. And I know that sounds really, you know,
no,
but if I'll allow it to consume me, and then I will neglect my responsibilities that are immediately in front of me, which is my children and my husband and, you know, my home, people that are around me that I can actually do. So
yeah, I can totally identify with that. I don't watch a lot of movies because I leave with it on me. Like I can't get it off, you know? Like
just I know.
Yeah.
If I've ever watched a movie that was kind of like scary, or I know that sounds so wimpy, or even like really freaked me out, I'm like, I have to watch something like super shallow right now.
Yeah.
Like watch something, I don't know.
Need to watch
like,
Bridesmaids, please, right now.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Just anything to just change my mind. But yeah, so I'm learning to just be careful and guard my heart with what I let myself read and get involved with. So
yeah, I think that's wise. It is hard though, because you don't want to have your head in the sand, but like I can't get out of bed if I, for me, it's the whole sex trafficking thing. I just can't I can't. So I give money to it and I pray for it, but I can't enter into that.
Right.
I think it's worse too when you have little kids. I'm like, I can't even.
Absolutely. And you feel kind of almost, I think for a long time I felt stuck, which sounds weird, but I just thought, I don't know. I just felt I'm stuck here at the house and I love my kids more than anything in the world. But like, you know, you just feel sort of, it's just an interesting season being a stay-at-home mom, especially of young kids, especially for someone who is like myself, who is extremely free-spirited and spontaneous and, you know, just wants to get out and travel and all that. So,
So speaking of free spirited, I told you I wanted to talk about your clothes and your style. Have you seen the Friends? And don't take this the wrong way, because I mean it's so good. But where, I can't remember if it's Chandler, but I have a feeling it was Joey, where he put on all of his clothes.
Yes, yes.
And I think, you know who Kelly Ray Roberts is, I'm sure.
Yes.
She's like an artist. And I feel like she has all her clothes on. There's so many layers and it's adorable. And if I put on all my clothes, I would just look ridiculous. But you and her, I think, have this way of just put whatever on and it looks fantastic. So tell me about that.
Okay. So, so funny. I, for a long time, didn't think that I dressed different different or not differently, weirdly, I guess is the word.
Oh, I think it's weird, but go ahead.
No, I know, but I get so many comments. I guess when social media started like getting bigger or my Instagram started growing a little bit, people started saying like, you know, making comments about my outfits and, oh, I love your style. Will you help me get dressed? And then I would get comments like, oh my goodness, like, what are you wearing? I mean, I would sometimes get kind of,
really?
And like, you, yeah. And it was like, your style kind of drives me crazy. And I've actually had people come up to me and tell me in public, people I don't know will be like, are you Melody Joy? And I'm like, oh,
are
my
you
goodness,
kidding
yes.
me?
Yeah. And they're like, your style, like, what are you think? They're like,
what
I
are
kind
you
of,
thinking?
Yeah. No, but I mean, I don't know how they mean it and I don't know how to take it. And they're like, I kind of like it, but it kind of drives me crazy and I could never pull that off. And I'm just like, okay, thanks. Nice to meet you.
Wow. Yes.
I think I have not really ever had an issue with caring a whole lot what other people think
okay.
about me.
Uh-huh.
I just genuinely like love wearing whatever makes me happy.
Okay.
And it's funny because my husband, he's just such a good dresser and he's a teacher and he wears bow ties every Tuesday. He started like this bow tie Tuesday trend. He's just such a good dresser.
Okay.
And he marries me, which is like, I will not pay full price for anything. Most of my clothes are thrifted and I've had for like seriously 10 years.
Okay.
And I just, they're just things that make me happy. Like if I pick them up and I see them in the store and I'm like, oh, that just, I don't know. I don't have any rules. Does it make me happy? Like, could I layer this with something? Could it be, I don't know. I like to be different. I just don't like to be normal, I guess okay. is what I'm trying. I don't even know what normal is, but I don't like to do like jeans and a t-shirt
uh-huh.
on those rare days when I wear that. I'm like, I feel like, you know, I'm not myself right
dead.
Now. So yeah, my soul is dead. And so I don't know. I think it's just part of who I am. And I think I tell people that I'm like, if there's something that just makes you happy and it's something you haven't worn before, like you should just wear it and don't even just pretend that you're rocking it. Like
just
go to the gas station. Yeah. Like put some red lipstick on man and put a scarf in your hair and like go get gas from the gas station or like go pick, you know, drop your kids off at school and all the other moms are like, you know, or a lot of them are in pajamas or, you know, going to work.
Yeah.
Just like seriously wear some normal clothes, wear red lipstick and some, you know, outrageously huge earrings and just do it just for, you
just
know,
try it.
And just pretend that you can rock it.
Okay.
And before you know it, people will be like, oh my goodness, I love your style. But only if it's, you know, only if it makes you happy. When I started wearing red lipstick, I was like, oh, this is kind of crazy, you know.
Okay.
But now it's kind of part of my routine. But even before the Skype call, my husband was like, do you have your red lipstick on?
Oh.
Do you have a scarf in your hair? Because he knows that I feel, you know, better when I have my, I call them my super cape. I say, you know, every girl should have, or everyone really, should have a super cape. Like what's one thing that you wear that just makes you feel awesome?
Yes.
And for some people that's like a flowy skirt and which I agree with. some girls it's like awesome, you know, some great shoes.
Mm-hmm.
For me it's like mostly because I don't spend a lot of time on my hair. I just say like a big old flowy scarf to cover up that scary hair and then some red lipstick because it detracts or distracts people from like the bags under your eyes, you know,
because you go.
And some big earrings. And I'm like, I can do anything.
I love that.
So
that's great. You know, I'm so intensely practical in ways that I'm not, it's not that exciting. I'm like 100 years old in my soul. I was born elderly. And so I feel like I really have to, I don't even know where I would start, but I want to start.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It's mostly just, and it's not for everyone. For me, it's just, I feel the most myself when I'm just a little bit extravagant and like colorful. And I say that I don't care what people think about me, but I feel like if I just kind of stood in the crowd and just was very normal, I would feel like, oh, I'm not being myself, you know?
Yeah.
So rainbows and all the colors, you know, all that stuff.
So you mentioned to me earlier that one of your passions was telling people how to be real on social media.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me about that.
I guess I've just seen this, not trend, well, I guess people always kind of want to stay in the crowd and just be normal and, you know, post what's popular to post, you know, show a certain lifestyle that they have. I don't know. And it's so easy to look at anyone in your feed and just be like, oh my goodness, what am I doing wrong? You know, you don't see all these uncomfortable, awkward moments that are happening in between all these beautiful moments. And so it's so easy to just get lost in that and to compare yourself. I don't know. It makes me so sad when, or in the past, people have said things or made comments like, oh, I want your life. Like, your life is so fun. And I'm like, oh my goodness, no, please no. Like, I am a human and we have so many bad moments. Yeah. And I think for me, I don't feel the need to, oh, here's my really bad, you know, messy room. Here's a picture of it just to make you feel better. Like, I haven't gotten to that point where I'm like, I feel like just because, just because I have bad moments, just because I, you know, yelled at my kids, I'm not going to be like, all right, everyone, I yelled at my kids just to make you feel better. I'm going to post here. Like, that's not, I truly, like, for me, Instagram is, and even Facebook, but mostly Instagram, I just love to see beautiful moments and inspiring and funny things. And I think Instagram means so many things to different people. And a lot of people do look at it and they're like, I want to see the real moments. And so I think I've had to be wise in like what I'm posting and think about my motives. Like, why am I posting this? Am I posting this so people will get jealous? Am I posting it so people will think I have it all together? And so I've really tried to just use social media as just a place where I'm just myself and I'm just being honest and real. I mean, I can't overthink like, well, what is someone going to think if I say this? I'm just saying this is just who I am. And it's just so hard though, because, you know, you look at all these pictures and they kind of all start to become the same.
Yeah.
People are posting these same cropped, beautiful shots. And it's just, to me, I'm like, I do not want to be that. Like, I don't care if I get unfollowed because my shots are not perfect. Like, I don't care if I overpost and people are like, you overpost, I'm not going to follow you. I don't care about that. I'm just thinking, I'm just sharing my story here and it doesn't need to follow the social media rules. I think one of my favorite quotes is, well, Wendell Berry, he's just a poet that I love, but he has a poem called The Manifesto, The Mad Farmer Liberation Front.
Okay.
One of the parts in there, he says, so friends, every day do something that won't compute. Love the Lord, love the world, work for nothing. Take all you have and be poor. Love someone who does not deserve it. And I just love that so much because I'm like, yes, that's what I want to be. Like, I love to do things that kind of confuse people.
Okay.
it's not normal. I think because people are like, what is up? Like, even if with my, you know, clothes or even with what I post, I'm not doing things to be weird, but doing things that don't necessarily make sense in the world's eyes, it kind of gets people thinking like, what's up with you? Like, what do you live for? And I kind of want people to know that I want to live for more than what the world has to offer.
Yeah.
And even like with my business, it kind of drives people crazy. And I kind of get like some slack because I do enjoy being very generous. And I'm not trying by any means to like say, look at me, because I don't want to, if that sounds bad, like you can take it off. I'm not, I genuinely love being generous in my business because I feel like it's not mine to keep. And I've just always kind of held it with open hands and said, I've committed my business, you know, to the Lord and said, all right, this is not my business. Like, I just want to give away almost as much as I get because it makes me happy, but it makes other people happy. And, and it's just kind of different than a lot of businesses, because a lot of businesses, it's like, you know, get successful and get big and make lots of money. And for me, I'm so happy giving stuff away. Mm-hmm. So it kind of confuses people. It doesn't compute, you know, do something that doesn't compute. And so I try to like practice that every day in my lifestyle.
I think that's great. You seem really comfortable in your own skin.
Yes.
Have you always been like that?
Yeah, okay. I think I have. I think there's good and bad things that come with that. But I don't know. I don't know how to answer this question. It just sounds like conceited and I'm not trying to be conceited. I was very thankful to grow up with parents who let me be myself. Mm. My mom is, you know, very gentle and quiet spirit, and I am not like loud. And like when I come in the room, like we turn all the lights on and the music comes on and I just start talking and I can't stop. And like when I go to a social situation, I'm like, okay, Melody, like pep talk. Don't dominate the conversation.
Tone it down.
Yeah. And I know that I'm energetic and I always have been, but I think part of that is I just have a healthy self-confidence, and that rubs a lot of people the wrong way, because the people who don't like me or have expressed to me that I really annoy them.
Oh my goodness. I cannot believe people are expressing this.
It's okay. No, I've gotten it so many times. It's funny because they were defining moments in my life because I was like, something's wrong with me. Like I need to change. But then I got to a point, and maybe it's now that I'm in my 30s, which, oh my goodness, I love being 30.
Yay.
I feel like there's a newfound like even more so a newfound confidence. But
oh, that's great.
I think I just love who the Lord made me to be. Mm-hmm. And I love how the Lord made other people to be. And just because I'm not a gentle and quiet spirit, yeah. or just because I'm not some super successful entrepreneur, doesn't mean that I don't genuinely love and appreciate those people, because I have so much to learn from them. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, wouldn't the world be so terrible if everybody was like me, you know?
Yeah.
Or if everybody was so gentle and quiet and, you know, non-assuming. And yeah. I just think I'm so thankful for what a colorful world we live in and all of these beautiful personalities. We all have these different gifts, and
yes.
I'm just so thankful. And I'm just at a point in my life where I just love seeing lives, how they work, and people's stories. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. What was the question again? I'm genuinely thankful. I'm thankful for who the Lord made me to be. And I just really want to live my life in a way that is going to give meaning. And I want to be I want to do the best with what I've been given. If I can use my, whatever it is, self-confidence or whatever, to encourage someone to just be themselves, I would be so thankful for that. My husband teaches, I'm sorry, I'm talking so much. See, I'm telling you that I talk too much.
I'm interviewing you. It's the whole point.
No, my we used to be in youth ministry for about almost 10 years, and with teenagers. And then my husband is a school teacher; he also teaches teenagers. And I just look at these kids, and I'm like, "Oh my goodness, you're gonna make it! Like, mm-hmm. you are gonna survive, and it's gonna get so much better." And like, just be yourself, and don't doubt who you are. And I see my children, and they're so precious, and they know how proud I am of them. And I just think I want them to know their whole life how beautiful they are just the way they are. And I want them to embrace the quirks and the things that are silly about them. Like, that's who they are. And it's so beautiful. And, you know, just the thought of them doubting their gifts, it just breaks my heart when I think, oh no, like, that's so beautiful about you, you know? So.
Right. And there's so many kids who grew up to be grownups and someone, yes. and moms who just still are like, I'm not enough. I'm not okay. I'm too this, too that.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
I was talking to a friend, and she's super sweet. And I feel like I'm so not sweet. And so I look at her and I think, I must be doing it wrong. Exactly like what you're saying. And so I don't know. We just disqualify ourselves, and I'm not sweet, but that doesn't mean I'm bad.
Right. No, it doesn't. Right. And I truly believe with my whole heart, your kids are your kids for a reason, you know? Mm-hmm. It's so funny, because sometimes when I see parts of myself come out in my kids, and I'm like, oh, that's so cute, they got that for me. But then other things that are not so cute, oh my goodness, like my daughter's really stubborn, strong will. It's so funny. She's three. Okay. And I see that come out in her. And sometimes it's kind of endearing and funny, because I'm like, yeah, girl, you do it. You know, you stick up for yourself. But other times I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. You're going to have to deal with having a strong personality. And then my one of my sons, he's a very anxious little guy. And he'll worry about things. And I'm like, oh, buddy, don't you trust me? Don't you know that I'm going to take care of you? Mm-hmm. And I, you know, am a very anxious person, and I've really been working on that recently. But I just think, okay, I learned so much from being a mom to my kids, especially when I see myself come out in them. But I'm like, this is not an accident that I'm their mom, you know,
because
no one's going to love them the way that I do and understand them the way that I do.
You mentioned working on anxiety.
Yes.
How are you doing that?
Okay, so I was pregnant or nursing for like straight up pregnant or nursing for about 7 years.
Okay.
And like had no break in between all of that. Mm. And when I began weaning my third child, I was kind of at that point, I was like, all right, I'm over it. You know, I guess my body needs a break. Like, she was old enough, and it was just the time had come for us to wean. Once we were done, I noticed like my hormones started going crazy. Like, I thought that maybe I was pregnant again. Like, I started having hot flashes. I was really emotional. Like, I would just start crying over nothing. And I could not figure out what was wrong with me. Okay. And I would have these panic attacks. And I had never really experienced that before. And I mean, the slightest thing would set me off, and I just couldn't even function. Mm. At this time, I had been very involved in, there was the Sandy Hook, you know, shooting had happened, and my third daughter had just, I'm like telling the story out of order. This is when I first started noticing it. I'm so sorry.
It's fine.
My daughter had just been born. She was maybe a month or 2 months old. The Sandy Hook shooting had happened, which really, I know, hit a lot of moms close to home. And I was very involved in making Ness necklaces for all of the moms.
Are you kidding? Oh, wow.
I think at this point, you know, the hormones of just having a baby had started to kind of like go a little wonky. And I really suffered from anxiety, like starting at that point.
Okay, let me, so you made necklaces for the moms who lost their kids in the shootings?
And it was, I would get emails from, you know, they would tell me what their child's favorite color was, and I would have to.
Oh my gosh.
It was incredibly, incredibly emotional. And I am not.
Okay, I'm crying now. So
just thinking about it makes me, but this was during, you know, the winter, and it was just, and I am not, I do not love winter. And anyways, and so it was like post-baby, like blues, or mine was more so post-baby anxiety, and all of this mixed in. And it just kind of, for about a month or two, I was in a really rough spot just making these. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would watch like anything else, you know, just while I was making them, just so I could like survive, because my hands were shaking making these. And so I finally shipped that off. Yeah, I shipped them off and shipped those off to enunciate. And then springtime came, you know, things kind of got better. And then I was pretty much good for, you know, it was, I just figured it was like postpartum stuff.
Okay.
And so then about a year and a half, almost 2 years later, that's when I started weaning my daughter. And we had been done for about a month. And that's when I started feeling it again. This like anxiety started really hitting me.
Okay.
And I mean, I couldn't function and I would just cry. I mean, it was days and I couldn't do anything. And my husband was like, babe, you've got to, like, you need to go talk to the doctor. Like something, you're not yourself.
Okay.
And I had never considered myself like depressed or struggling with depression or anxiety. But, you know, one night I finally Googled, like, is weaning part of like, can that strike depression or whatever? Okay. And apparently it is. It's like a thing, post-weaning depression. It's the equivalent of postpartum.
Interesting. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. I'm like, why don't they tell women this? Like, you hear about postpartum, but you don't hear about post-weaning depression.
And, no.
I mean, because I had been, you know, like I said, nursing or pregnant for 7 years, all of a sudden my body was like, alert, alert, something's off.
Yeah.
And so I finally, like, I went to the doctor and I was trying to talk to her and I was crying, talking to her. And I know she thought I was, you know, some basket case, but she finally was like, okay, let's go ahead and just get you on some anxiety meds just to like help this season of like your body's trying to readjust to just being normal, you know, not pregnant. Nursing. So I went on some anxiety meds and I think I was prideful. I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm doing this. Cause it was kind of a blow to my pride. Like I'm a very naturally enthusiastic person. And I've always thought, you know, joy is a choice and I can choose to make it through this. And for the first time, I'm like, I'm taking something to help me just not even feel anything.
Yeah.
And it was a very awkward season for me, just coming to grips with, this is okay. And you know what? My family deserves a normal and stable me. And this is a gift for my family that I'm going to take this anxiety medicine and just be cool with it. So a lot of times, you know, in Christian circles or faith-based circles, people are like, oh, well, you can choose to be happy. You can choose joy. Mm-hmm. But I want to tell you, I mean, all the moms and all the women who are listening to this, if you struggle with something, like, there is nothing wrong with taking something that's going to help calm your heart and just
because you know when you're not choosing to cry all day, that's not a choice that we want to make.
Yes. And thankfully, you know, my husband was very, very supportive. And it definitely took, you know, and everyone's different and not everything works for every woman. But I mean, I'm a very, like, I love homeopathic remedies. I love natural foods and natural living. And so I was kind of like, this is something that I can't fix, you know, with like oils or eating well. It's like something I have to actually take. And it's okay. Like, I'm cool with it now. I'm like, I'm so thankful for it. And I would say that's definitely been a learning curve for me. But I wish it was talked about more. And I wish that women knew it was okay.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, because that it should be talked about more. But people would rather just pretend like they're fine.
Yes, absolutely.
I wanted to ask about your kitchen table.
Yeah.
What's your hashtag? Like, my table's magical or something?
Oh, what is it? I think hashtag our kitchen table is magic.
Yeah, I love it. Tell me about that. How do you foster that? What's it look like?
Right. Oh my goodness. It is a 1950s. It's like a little corner dinette. And I don't know if it was in a restaurant or what, but it is minty and white. And it is so cute. And when we bought this house, there was a corner in the kitchen. And I was like, how are we going to fit a table there? It's kind of an awkward little place.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, man, if we could find like a little corner dinette. And my husband is like such a Craigslist genius. And I had searched Craigslist. I think I'm not typing stuff in right, but he will search it in. And he found it immediately. He was like, "Is this the one you want?" And I was like, "Uh-huh, yep, that was it." So it's a Craigslist find, and it is just, it makes me so happy. I love, we just have so many fun memories around our kitchen table, and all of our meals are really loud, and I love it. I just feel like I'm so thankful that we have a cute little spot.
Well, have any special, do you have questions you ask or things that you kind of regularly do around the table with your family?
We have game nights. We like to play games around our table. Okay. I don't know. I just feel like so much happens around it, Play-Doh parties. It's where we talk and pray and just laugh. Like, we laugh so hard around our table. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's something. I feel like maybe there's a presence of just laughter. we'll laugh so hard at our table. I don't know what it is. And it's small. I mean, we all have to cram in there, but it's just, I don't know. It's so precious and I just love it so much.
I love that's really cool. I knew I needed to know more about that table.
Yeah, Craigslist, man. It is so, just if someone's searching, I don't know, type in the words, I would have to ask
magic.
My husband, but it was magical kitchen table. Okay. I think it's called vintage, it's like a vintage dinette corner table, something like that.
So cute. I love it.
Yeah.
So tell me, you mentioned that a struggle that you have is feeling kind of some mom guilt.
Yes.
I think I've got that same condition. Tell me about yours.
Listen, I don't know what it is, but I hate mom guilt. It's so unfair. Yeah. Because you feel like no matter what you do, you're going to feel guilty. Mm-hmm. I certainly am coming off of a big season of that. I tried for a few years to homeschool my kids, mm-hmm. and I really, really wanted to do it. Yeah. And I tried it, but I also was, running a small business that was continuing to grow despite, I don't know how, because I feel like every single order, I'm apologizing to the customer that it's late or something's wrong or my kids switched up the order. And so constantly, I was constantly doing everything at 50% or 30% really. Mm. I don't even know if it's that much, but I just felt pulled in many different directions. And I felt so much guilt because people said, "Oh, they're only little once and enjoy these years." And I just thought, I am miserable. I'm doing a really bad job at homeschooling. I'm doing a really bad job at running the shop. I'm not even doing anything domestic. I don't even know how we're alive. my husband would come home from work and I'd be like, "I've got to run upstairs. I've got to finish these orders. I've got to run to the post office." And life was just so busy. Okay. And I finally came to the point where I thought, okay, I've got to give something up. And I was like, "I'm going to shut the shop down. I can't do it anymore. It's just not worth it."
Okay.
But then I found myself when we were homeschooling, I was like, "I'm so sad. The thought of not doing that makes me miserable." Mm. And I was thinking, does it mean I love my kids less? Am I choosing business over my kids? Is that what I've become? You know? And it was this constant guilt. And I spoke to other moms about it. And then I thought, goodness gracious, if I was talking to another mom who was telling me that, if she was telling me this, I'd be like, "Girl, give yourself grace." Mm. That doesn't mean, listen to how silly you sound. You don't love your kids less because you're trying to do what you're good at. Mm-hmm. I love having a creative outlet and running a business. And for some reason or another, it's growing. And so I guess that means I'm somewhat good at it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that I love my kids less.
Yeah.
And I finally got to the point where my husband and I, lots of tears and lots of me mm-hmm. Learning that it's okay. And someone said, "Melody, it's just a season. Try the school thing out. If you really hate it, if they're miserable, you're miserable, you can always homeschool again."
Yeah.
It was a big, big thing for me.
Okay.
And I finally got to the point where I was okay with it, or mostly okay, I guess. And let me tell you what, I'm so thankful for school. Yeah. My kids are, they're thriving. They're so happy. I'm able to take more time, on the business and just to, I don't know, it's just a lot sweeter, and it just took a lot of giving myself grace.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just how it was for me. But I just want moms to know, especially these little years, mm-hmm. man, they are hard when kids are little.
Very intense.
And I mean, they're so sweet and funny. And yeah. I look at these old pictures of when my kids were young and it was just me and them all day, every day. And I just thought, oh my goodness, that poor mom. I remember I was just there and it was so hard. And I just want to know, it's okay that it's hard. It's okay. It's supposed to be. You're giving of yourself every minute of the day.
Right.
It's okay that it's hard, and it's okay, but you need to give yourself grace, mama.
Yeah, absolutely.
What would you say to to another woman, you know, say it to yourself. And it's hardest to preach to yourself.
It is.
I'm learning that the awkwardness and the uncomfortableness, it's kind of like holy ground. You know, it's just the little years are just the messiest. They're the loudest. They're the stinkiest. They're the craziest. You know, it's just the holiest of holy grounds. And I believe that with my whole heart. It's just days that you think you're going crazy. You know, you can't remember the last time you actually sat down and ate an entire hot meal or had an uninterrupted grown-up conversation or phone call or unspilled hot cup of coffee or long shower. And this, it's just days you feel like you're failing and you doubt whether or not you're doing any of it right. And it's just, I just want moms to know who are going through this, you're going to be okay. Mm. And then one day, it's going to be far too soon, you're going to miss these days. Mm. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I would lock myself in the bathroom with a pint of Ben and Jerry's. And I was like, I'm just going to look at the clock for 5 minutes. I'm just going to sit in here and no one's going to eat my ice cream. And
I don't have to share.
Yeah, they'll make it for 5 minutes. Like, I don't care what they do to the house, but they'll be fine. Yeah. And I would just sit in there and just cry. And I just said, okay, in 20 years, my kids are, I'm just envisioning my kids in 20 years. And I'm going to say, oh my goodness, one day you guys are driving me nuts. And you know, I'm just going to, one day it's going to be so funny. But right now, just embrace the uncomfortableness, the awkwardness, because they seem like forever, but they're also fleeting. And these tiny people have been entrusted to us. And it doesn't seem like you're going to miss it, but I think that you're going to miss it. And I'm finally getting to that stage where we're kind of getting out of the little years, you know? And I mean, my youngest is 3 now, so she is still young.
Yeah, mine's 2. Mine's 3.
Yeah, but I sometimes get this panicky moment of like, oh my goodness, I don't have babies anymore. Like, did I enjoy it enough? You know, was I enough? Did I do any of this right? And anyways, one of my favorite songs is by Sandra McCracken. And
I love her.
I love her. I'm obsessed with Sandra McCracken. But she wrote, you know, the song called The Storehouse. And she says, yeah, it's beautiful. Okay. And she says, when I give you all that I have to give, I still have the storehouse full. And I just think isn't that life and motherhood? Yeah. You give everything that you have to give, but the storehouse is always full. I mean, how many times have I gone to bed completely depleted of myself? And I would give anything in a heartbeat, you know, for my kids all over again. You know, even when I'm like, I can't do it. Like, am I getting anything for this?
Yeah.
So just lots of deep breaths and lock yourself in the bathroom. And sometimes you got to scream in your pillow. Your pillow can take it. I've done that too. My pillow, my poor pillow. I've sometimes in the room and I'm like, oh my goodness.
But yeah, that's good perspective. So I had one more question for you. And what is something that you can't stop talking about right now?
I was going to say manatees because I genuinely, like, I love manatees.
Yeah, you need to tell me about that.
So, and then also another thing is our little vintage camper. But anyways, so first, manatees. So I was at a job. This was like in my early 20s. I was at an office job and it was not meant for me. I am not an office job person. Some people are.
Yeah.
I was not. Yeah. And I was only there because my husband was going to school. We were young when we got married and he was going back to school and we just needed a job so he could go back to school. Anyway, so that's why I was there. And I was really depressed. I just would cry every day. I was like, this is the worst. I'm just not meant to be in an office. And one day I just said, I just want to do, I don't know what made me think of it, but I said, I just want to go do something crazy, like swim with manatees.
Okay.
And he was like, oh, okay, let's do it. And so I just took a week off of work and we like Googled, like, where should we swim with manatees?
How did you even know you could swim with a manatee? What is a manatee? It's like a dolphin?
It's a sea cow. No, it's a fat mammal. It's an herbivore that lives in the ocean floor. And they are so sweet. And you just need to Google pictures of manatees. But they, for a long time, they were on the endangered list because they move very slowly and they can't move fast enough when they hear boats coming. And so, you know, their lungs are like on the upper side of them, like on their backs. And so these boats will run over them and kill them because they can't get out of the way fast enough. But they're very slow moving creatures and they eat the grass that grows on the ocean floor. So basically, you know, they keep the ocean floor clean and clear.
Okay.
And so they're just precious and they're like these big puppy dogs. And
so where do you swim with one?
So I went in Crystal River, Florida, and I recommend if anyone goes, they should use Birds Underwater and then tell them that I sent you because we've gone so many times with them. Okay. But Birds Underwater, because a lot of the manatee companies, they just want to take advantage. They don't care about the manatees themselves. They just want the customer to be able to see them. Okay. But Birds Underwater is like, okay, this is, you know, this is how we treat manatees. And you don't run up and chase them off, like they'll come to you. And anyways, all that stuff.
Okay.
So I just, anyways, so I felt kind of territorial, like manatees are my thing. Cause like we researched this.
And yeah.
We got, but I just, they make me so happy. And I have like a manatee tattoo on my foot.
You do.
My sister-in-law, that was my first tattoo. And it was kind of funny cause I always said your first tattoo should always be like, you should think about it for a couple years and plan it. And, and then one day my sister-in-law and I were like, should we get manatee tattoos? And it happened within an hour, like some like sketchy place and got manatees tattooed on us forever. And I thought this will always, always make me happy. Like even when I'm like 90, I'll be like the eccentric old lady with the manatee on her foot. So
that is okay. So wonderful.
So that's manatees.
Okay.
Oh, Mr. Watson, he's up.
I'm glad. Welcome, Mr.
Yes,
Watson.
Yes. Welcome, Mr. Watson. Anyways, do you want me to talk about the other thing or are we out of time?
Tell me about the camper.
Okay. So my husband, like I said, he's a school teacher. And we do not have, you know, money. And that's what school teacher does. And then I run a business and you would think that I have money, but I end up giving all that stuff away.
Yes.
So we don't have money, but we do have summers off, paid summers off, which is the cool, besides shaping and molding young lives, like, do you hear him yawning? I don't know if you can hear him yawning. He goes, wow. That's what he does. He's so emotional. But anyways, so we have the paid summers off, and that's just such a great reason to be a teacher is paid vacation. So we thought, well, we can't do anything, you know, we can't go anywhere exotic. We don't have money for a vacation home, and we don't want to stay here all summer. Mm-hmm. And we were like, let's just get an old camper and like road trip, because old campers have got to be affordable, right? You know, because new ones are expensive, and we didn't want to rent. And we were like, surely if we rent, we will destroy it in no time. So my Craigslist loving husband went on Craigslist, and for like nonstop for like probably 2 weeks, we were just like obsessed with finding the perfect little camper for our family. And we did all this research. And so we got a little motor home, and it was a little 18-foot 1979 motorhome, and we just seriously had no clue what we were doing, but we were like, I guess we can just park this and like, you know, go wherever we want. So if we want a beach house, we'll drive to the beach and park at the beach. If we want a mountain house, we'll drive it up to the mountains. So we did that, and it is the most fun thing in the whole world. I'm totally obsessed. And I just feel like any family who doesn't have a whole lot of money but wants to go on vacation should just get an old affordable camper and like just it is so much fun, and it's not luxurious, and some people think we're crazy, but like our kids think it's the coolest thing in the whole world, and that's just what our summers entail is we road trip and take the camper with us. And
okay, so how long have you been doing this?
So this will be, we've done 3 summers. We had our little 18-foot motorhome for 3 summers. Then the thing about kids is, you know, they get bigger. And so we were like this past summer, we were like sardines in a can. I mean, we were so all smushed in there, but we made it work because most of the time we're outside anyways when we're camping. But we finally we sold it to a sweet little family that has young, young kids, and we upgraded ours to a slightly bigger one. It's still a vintage one, but it's bigger. So we're going to redecorate it inside. It's pretty like 80s and, you know, it needs some cosmetic stuff, but that's always fun to do. I mean, I like doing that. So, so this next summer, and it's actually, it's called a Thor. It says Thor on the side of it. Hold on, Ms. Watson. And so Thor stands for, it's an acronym for the home of recreation.
Oh, I love that.
So we call it Thor. So we're like, yeah, we're going to go hang out with Thor this summer. So, you know, obviously our boys think it's cool. But anyway.
Well, I love that.
Yeah. So I think if you can save up for anything and you don't have a lot of money, like try to find a way to buy, you know, an affordable old camper and then just go have adventures. And it's pretty awesome.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Melody, seriously, so much fun talking to you.
Yes, it was. I feel like I completely dominated the conversation, but I think...
Well, it's an interview.
Yeah, it is an interview, so...
So you did exactly right.
Hey, good, good.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for sharing all the things that you shared.
Thank you, Emily.
Super fun.
Thank you so much. It was just such a privilege to be on your podcast.
Thank you. Yay. Well, we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Emily.
Okay. All right. Bye.
So I want a camper right now. Doesn't she make it sound fantastic? Like always, there was a whole lot to pull from that interview. Did you even know that post-weaning depression was a thing? I had no idea. Maybe you've been dealing with that without even knowing it. Or you just know that you deal with some crippling anxiety, but you needed someone to tell you that taking medication for a season doesn't mean you're a failure, or that you're just not trying hard enough. I know for me, depression is part of my story, and I have been on medication before, and trying hard enough has never been a problem for me. You can't try much harder than I try. But when you can't get out of the bed and you want your life to just end, you need to do something. And like she mentioned, it's a gift for your family. They love you and they need you. Even when you can't figure out what value you possibly add to the situation and you think they may be better off without you, I'm here to tell you that is a lie. You mean the world to them. If that's you today, I would really encourage you to go talk to somebody. Maybe whatever type of school you're doing with your kiddo right now isn't working, and you know that a change is needed, and this week you can begin to research other options that would suit your current season better. Maybe you try wearing something fun. Maybe you find your super cape, like she said. Maybe you've been too afraid to wear it out of the house, and it's time to put it on and go pump some gas. I thought that was awesome. For me, it's skirts, because I just, in the past several years, I've gained, 10, 15 pounds, and so for me, I can't wear skirts and cute things until I lose it, but I think I want to try to wear some skirts. So I think maybe this week I'm going to put on a skirt and go pump some gas. That is hilarious. So if you're going to do that, go ahead and take a picture. I will take a picture of myself in a skirt pumping gas this week. Oh my gosh, that's mortifying, but I will give it a shot. If you do it, I want to hear about it. Don't make me be alone on this. I hope that you are psyched up about some part of motherhood based on this interview with Melody. Tell your friends so that they can be psyched up too. I like to periodically give helpful suggestions as to how you can help spread the word about the show. This week I wanted to highlight an often overlooked possibility: your neighbor's mailboxes. Yes, it is a violation of federal law. And yes, some people feel like that's a really bad idea. But I just want you to search inside yourself and think, could I break the law just this once? Something to think about, you guys. Little handwritten note in every mailbox in your neighborhood. We could really make some progress here. So I'm counting on you. And also, I feel like if you did tell your neighbors, they would be so thankful for the information that they probably wouldn't press charges. And if they did press charges and you ended up in some kind of prison, they probably have cable. I mean, I've never even had cable in my whole life. So could it be a step up? I don't know. That's your journey, but just something to consider. All right, guys, I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I have. Head over to momstrugglingwell.com for the show notes with any links that Melody mentioned, and come find me at momstrugglingwell on Instagram or Facebook. I'm going to give away the Nest pieces on Instagram this week, so stay tuned, and also stay tuned for me and a dress at the gas station. Something to look forward to. Have a great week of struggling well.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.